Everyone's had that moment. You stumble across something fascinating on a website, and dozens of clicks later, you're left wondering where the last hour went. Wilmington's Cape Fear Museum of History and Science may have opened the ultimate internet rabbit hole, at least for local history lovers like us, when, last month, the museum made more than 15,000 photographs from its collection available to the public online. That's right, you can now spend untold hours looking through photos of Wilmington's history, some of them dating back as far as the 1860s. The photos, which are searchable, can be viewed at capefearmuseum.com/collections. Highlights include dozens, if not hundreds, of photos of bygone buildings like the Lumina and Babies Hospital at Wrightsville Beach, as well as historic buildings we all know very well, like the Bellamy Mansion and Thalian Hall. There's an array of Wilmington notables, including artists like Minnie Evans and Claude Howell, famous athletes such as Harlem Globetrotters star Meadowlark Lemon and NFL quarterbacks Raymond Gabriel and Sonny Jurgensen, and lots of old-school politicians, including many, many photos of former Wilmington Mayor J.E.L. High Buddy Wade, who, judging from the collection, was a notorious camera hog. Other photos are more troubling and lay bare Wilmington's history of racial inequality. We'll get into all of that. This is Cape Fear Unearthed, the podcast exploring the legends, historical oddities, and landmark stories of southeastern North Carolina. I'm your host, John Staton, and I'm a reporter with the Star News here in Wilmington. We're a Gannett paper that's part of the USA Today network. My guests today are Cape Fear Museum staffers Heather Yenko and Devin Kelly. Yenko led the photo project for the museum, and Kelly did a lot of the heavy listening, researching and writing captions for thousands upon thousands of photos. Okay, so I am here in the Cape Fear Museum with museum curator Heather Yenko and collection specialist Devin Kelly. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so I saw the email come out about this a couple weeks ago, and it just was immediately caught my interest because I know the museum has a lot of really cool photos in its collection, and this seems like this is probably the most accessible the photos have ever been to the public at this point. And kind of tell me a little bit about how this project came to be and kind of the origin story of this photo project.
Yeah, so we have about 57,000 artifacts in the collection, and 15,000 of those are photographs. And we feel like it's one of the strengths of the museum's collection. It hasn't always been super accessible. All the photos have been scanned and are in our internal database, but not available to the public. And so a few years ago, we had the idea that in order for this to be more accessible to the public, yeah, that we could work on a website that the public could search.
Yeah, and obviously it's a huge project. It's a huge amount of work. And I think you were telling me when we spoke earlier that in a way the pandemic kind of gave you guys the opening to kind of really work on this. Would that be right to say?
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. I started working on this in like April of 2020. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly just, we were all working from home, so it was a way to keep myself busy.
Right.
We had to go through each individual record of photographs, so we couldn't do huge updates,
right,
of like, let's say like 20 or 100, yeah, records at a time. It had to be each individual one.
Yeah.
So it did take up quite a bit of time.
Well, that's one of the impressive things about this collection is that you go in, there's a lot of information with each photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously took time. I mean, it's like each individual photo is a little piece of work that you're having to kind of write a little mini story for almost.
Yeah, and, pretty much every photo was described, but yeah, in varying degrees, yeah, of in-depth.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely one of the biggest things was to go through, not only to accurately describe the photographs,
yeah,
but to make it searchable. So internally, we could go through these photos, and we,
yeah,
knew kind of the quirks of descriptions of years past,
yeah,
but that wasn't going to work for the public.
Yeah. And like, where do these photos come from? Like, where did you get these? Because, I mean, they range from, I think the oldest you said are around 1860s, which is right, mm-hmm, around the time photography first became, common, and up until really last year or two.
Yeah, so they've been donated. Most of them have been donated, mm-hmm, to us from the public. So, like, most every artifact in the collection.
Yeah.
Some of them we purchased, but for the most part, it was just people who thought they wanted to donate. A lot of them came in as larger collections. So there's objects, three-dimensional objects from a person,
yeah,
and photographs with it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, well, let's just, you know, let's dive right in and start talking about some of these photos, because that's, first, you know, you go to the, you go to the page where you kind of link into the collection, and the first one you see is Minnie Evans, who was a really well-known artist from Wilmington and had some renown. Tell me a little bit about some of the, there's quite a few with Minnie Evans, so tell me about some of those.
So this one... in particular, that I like of Minnie Evans is her showing off one of her.
Yeah, that's kind of the
artworks.
Iconic one. If she's kind of sitting there holding her one of her paintings at kind of an angle and sitting on a porch somewhere, it looks like.
Yeah, I think it was at Airlie.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it might be a.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's at Airlie. And it is one of the iconic ones. It's one that it's nice to have in our collection. A lot of it, it's been published in many places.
Yeah.
And it's just a good, like, it's such a professional type portrait,
yeah,
which I
right?
really love.
Right.
And you can just see the emotion behind it and the way she's showing off her art.
Yeah. Well, then not all of these are, I mean, some of these are unprofessional looking, like you say, but some of them are maybe not as valuable for, you know, the quality, the quote unquote quality of the photograph. It's just more what they show, right?
Yeah. So we have a lot going through this. One thing we found out is that we have a lot of photographs from Azalea festivals.
Right.
And a lot of them are amateur photographs, which is really fun. So you get to see, like, almost, I'd argue at times, almost every float that was in the parade
wow.
of certain years.
Yeah,
and then other times it's just like pictures of crowds and stuff.
Yeah,
so
you can, like, relive, you know, the parade from 1970, whatever, right? And go back and see almost every float.
Like from the 50s on.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it is funny. They're like one. You could tell the person was standing in one location.
Yeah.
It's like every single float that went by,
nice.
There's a snapshot.
So when you say most of the photos are, most of the ones I've seen are in black and white, or we say most of them are in black and white, just because that's the most of the years was black and white photography, but.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because color photography hasn't been around nearly as long.
Yeah, I mean, Tula, when did the color one started showing up in the
70s-ish?
Yeah, okay.
And now we're getting more donations of, like, digital photographs, so that's a little interesting.
How do you handle that when you get, like, a digital? How do you know? You know, we're in the age of NFTs and everything, so how do you handle it when you get a digital donation? How does that work?
It's interesting. We save it. We keep the digital file saved.
Yeah.
We have a photo printer too, so we print off mm-hmm. the image just so. I don't know. We're a museum. We like to have the physical stuff, and then if something ever happens to the file, we at least have the print.
Yeah.
It's a different way of kind of thinking, because that print isn't the artifact, it's the file,
right.
But we
yeah.
have the print for posterity.
But yeah, but well, that's an interesting point, because I assume that in terms of the photos that are on here, there's got to be either prints or slides or negatives of all of them, right?
Yeah, we've gone through all of our, like, tangible photographs, our negative collection, and then in the past few weeks, actually, we finished doing stereographs and postcards too.
Now, what's a stereograph?
Go ahead. A stereograph is it's like two photographs that are next to each other. There's a special viewer, and it made a kind of a three-dimensional image.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So it was pretty popular early on in photography.
All right, okay. Cool. Well, what are some of those images? Now, do you have any of those images in this collection in here, or are those?
Yep. Yeah,
I guess, like, what are some of the stereographs that are in here?
So some of them are actually, like, early images of downtown Wilmington. So there's some of our, like, really interesting photographs. I'd say, like, late 1800s. And then there's a few that are in there that were, because they were so popular, right. like, they're just photographs of national parks. Like,
right.
or early, like, nature scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like they're kind of, like, the Viewmaster.
I had one of those. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the, first of all, we should mention one of them, and I've written about a guy named Herbert Howard, who I guess was a guess he had a photo service, and he mostly worked in the Black community back in the 60s and maybe even up into the 70s or 80s. And you go through there, it's a lot of photos in there. They're either Herbert Howard or Howard's photo service, and they show a lot about, just like school graduations, you know, weddings, funerals, church functions, and that's talk a little bit about Mr. Howard and kind of what his photos kind of contribute to this.
I think his photograph collection is a fantastic addition to our collection. I mean, for so many donations that we've had, it's, you know, photographs of white people.
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
is just, it's a great collection of the African-American community and really adds to the depth and diversity of our collection and showing the diversity of this area that it wasn't just white people, which is, you know.
I mean, which has never been true, but I mean, and they're just wonderful photos. And I mean, I feel like you go in there and it's, you know, there's a photo of like, it's almost like a preschool and the kids are getting some kind of certificate or some kind of award. And there's a little boy who's just like, he just got the biggest, most proud smile on his face. And it's just, they're just wonderful photos. And the wedding photos are just, I mean, they're almost, you could do it almost an exhibit just of Herbert Howard, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah. One cool thing about those photos too, is that they're like photographs of every day.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
so often people will donate photographs of things that were like, more of a unique thing. So we have a lot of photos of snow. Because
right.
You would think we were a very snowy location.
Yeah,
right. There's so many snow photos.
That's so funny.
Yeah, because it's something that doesn't happen here all the time. So it's something that people recorded.
Yeah.
Whereas like those photographs really document like the everyday for people.
Yes.
And that doesn't always get shared
out.
Yeah. That's one of the things I really love about the photos in general, especially the more like snapshots kind of, is that it's a glimpse into the past that it can tell more of a story than just an artifact.
Absolutely.
You can see that people were people. And one of my favorites is on the landing page of the website of a group of people vacationing and they're hanging out on a front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people in a hammock. And if you zoom in, there are two people on the porch making really silly faces at the camera. And it's from around 1900. And it's just, it's such a fun reminder that, oh, you know, people were goofy even, you know, in the past. It wasn't this staid, static, you know, black and white life.
Yeah. Well, so, Devin, what are some of your favorite photos? Because you've gone through, I mean, I think you're the person that's really gone through. If anyone has seen every single one of these photos, it would probably be you, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen a majority of them at this point. There's a couple that stick out. I really liked, we have a couple pictures of like the early movie theater downtown, the Bijou, and I really like that because it's just like early entertainment, and it's still like a facade you can see on Front Street. Also, it's like the people who owned it and then also their dog.
Yeah, I don't know, well, they know people love putting their dogs in photos even today.
Yep.
So yeah, those are some of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the early beach photography is fun, too.
Yeah.
I guess we have some early pictures of the Lumina, where, movie theaters, but there's a huge movie screen in the ocean people watching movies from the outside, so that's also just fun.
Yeah,
and so, I mean, just like I was telling Heather, you really have, in some ways, for people who love Wilmington and Wilmington history, you've created, like, the ultimate rabbit hole that people can, you know, spend many hours looking through these photos. And so how did you make them searchable? What are some of the search, you know, if I'm just not randomly looking through it, I'm looking for certain things. I mean, are they, you know, how many terms would each photo have? And how did you, you know, how what was that process like to make them, you know, accessible to people?
One, not to go back to the Azalea Festival, but one that's just an easy example, is that some of them said festival parade, some of them just said parade. And so one easy way to describe them all was just making sure that the words Azalea Festival Parade was in every single one of those like thousands of photos. Another example is we have a few photographs of Alexander Manley.
Alexander Manley was the editor of the Daily Record, which was the Black newspaper That got burned in 1898, and I believe he left town right before that happened, which is why he probably lived. And but then there, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to kind of say who he was if people didn't know.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, so I'd say we have some photographs of him where additional information could be found elsewhere in the record for our internal purposes.
Yeah.
For rewriting those captions for the public to look at, you just wanted to make sure to give some sort of context.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for an Alexander Manley photograph, you know, just adding in, you know, editor of the Daily Journal,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
having 1898 in there somewhere,
yeah,
so they come up as search terms.
Yeah, because there, and that's one thing we should probably talk about is that these, you know, this is history, so it's not all good stuff, right? It's not all parades and snow.
Yeah.
it is, you know, bad stuff also happened, and one of the worst things is probably 1898, and I know you said you have pictures of not just the victims, people like Alexander Manley, but also some of the perpetrators in there. And I think, Heather, you told me there's stuff, there's even, you know, parades of people, you know, white people in blackface from back in the 20s or whenever the date was. So it's not all ugly. I mean, so it is some ugly stuff, but you can't just leave that out, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do have some photos from 1898 of the perpetrators with the Gatling gun, and which are really powerful and important to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one thing we wanted to make sure of is that we weren't keeping anything from the public, even though, yeah, we do have a few photos. I can think of three, I think, mm-hmm, of people in blackface. And like, well, yeah, that happened. And we just we say in the description, you know, blackface, so that we're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
And it's just part of the record of history. And I guess, you know, that is the biggest one, is 1898, like,
yeah,
the hardest photos to see, but
sure,
also probably one of the most important photos in our collection.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of gets at the question of, you know, what is the, what do these photos tell us about, you know, Wilmington history? And I guess, you know, what is, I know it's a kind of a big question, but, you know, what is the purpose for having these out here, and kind of what do they tell us about our area that we wouldn't have without them?
Yeah, I just think, you know, we have this rich collection of photographs that not a ton of people knew we had. And I feel like now we have an opportunity for people to be able to go back and see in the past.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great collection of photos from Williston, which are like a fantastic glimpse into that life. And like, you know, if you're interested in anything or just wanting to see, you know,
like Williston, we should say is the black, or it was the black high school for many, many years. Now it's a middle school, but yeah, so I'm sorry, I interrupt you. But.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have all these shorthands for things.
Well, no, and it's,
yeah.
I think most people listening to this probably won't know what Williston is, but just on the off chance. There was a great photo in there of like kids around a maypole. I don't know if that was at Williston or at Peabody or one of the black schools.
It was, yeah.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
That one's a great one, too.
Yeah.
I love the ones of the school programs and like the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I think this is a great way for anyone who's just curious, interested in, you know, the past in Wilmington,
yeah,
that it becomes it documents, you know, from the mid-1800s, literally,
yeah,
to 2020. We've got photos from the pandemic that we've put into the collection, just to see the vast array of things that happened here, people,
yeah,
who lived here. You know, we're not curating it in a way where we're dictating what you're looking at.
Right,
we're just,
right,
this is what we've got, and here you can search,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it's a lot, too. So what is, so how do you see people using this? I mean, is it just a thing that they're going to go in and just kind of poke around? And, I mean, but how do you think this will be useful to people, and how do you see people kind of using it in the years going ahead?
Yeah, we've already had some people just say that they've kind of just been poking around, but there,
yeah,
have been, Devin, I know you've had some people reach out to you already that they were looking for specific,
mm-hmm,
things.
Yeah, we had someone who actually worked for the county who deals with the cemeteries in town,
oh,
already tell me that they've made use of it, and that's not something I expected,
sure,
or anticipated. I think this would be a great resource for like students to,
yeah,
researchers,
yeah,
or really anyone.
Yeah, we've had
think Bald Head Island and Old Baldy. Yeah. They are like, oh, cool. Their social media people just reached out and like, yeah. Hey, we'd love to share some of the photos of our stuff. And
cool.
I was like, that was a nice thing too. That, yeah it's spreading to, it wasn't just individuals, but other places around town.
And so is this, I guess, how far do you go? Is it just Wilmington or is it, I mean, or just New Hanover County or does it include other counties or?
Yeah, most of it's Wilmington. Yeah. It does spread out. We also have, because like I said earlier, some people just donated photos as part of this larger collection.
Right.
Sometimes those were soldiers that served overseas. And so we have their uniforms and the three-dimensional artifacts. We also have photographs that they took. So you could literally search France or Germany and come up with photos from World War I, World War II overseas. That's not common. Most of it is local.
But if it's of France or Germany, it's because some guy from here was involved.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of our history as well. And so tell me a little bit about how you was it difficult? Like with some of these photos, you're like, I don't even know what this is, or I mean, how did you figure out what was kind of relevant and what was, you know, not?
I like to use, you can kind of tell when I wasn't sure what something was, or either of us weren't sure what something.
Right.
Just including the word unknown.
Yeah.
Putting things in quotation marks if that was in the original description and I wasn't sure why.
Yes, because it says on there if there's stuff written on the back of the photo, if there's something written somewhere, you would say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think also whenever you see the word unknown, that's also an invitation to whether if someone viewing it knows what that is, hopefully reaching out to one of us. That information is on the website.
Yeah, so there's an email there. So like if someone's looking through these photos and it says unknown person, like that's my aunt so-and-so, they can email you and then...
Yeah, please reach out. Yeah. That would be great. That's one way that we're hoping to get information from the public. So this is, you know... for the public, but we get something out of it.
And so what are, I guess, going forward, is there going to be any kind of, I mean, like I know that you guys have exhibits all the time that will probably use some of these. Do you see there being an exhibit specifically of some of these, or I guess, you know, is that too soon to know?
Yeah, I think it's probably too soon to know. Honestly, it's great it's out in the public. I've already said other people who work in the museum are taking advantage of it because it's a lot easier to use this website than the large database that we work in.
Yeah.
So like our PR person's like, oh yeah, this is so much easier to search the website. And so she's able to use more photos that way. Since we are a department of the county, the county's already said this is great and be able to use more of our photos and materials that they put out because of it. So that's probably right now the best use of it internally. So.
Excellent. Well, I would encourage, you know, as someone who's done this, I would encourage anyone out there who's interested in Wilmington or Wilmington history to go through these photos. I've spent way too much time at work going through a lot of these more than I should have, but just because they're such great photos and they're so fascinating. So thank you, Heather Yenko and Devin Kelly of Cape Fear Museum, for getting this out there and for doing this great project.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of Cape Fear on Earth and our look at the historic photos of the collection of the Cape Fear Museum. We'll be back soon with another chapter of Wilmington history. Till then, make sure you're a member of our Facebook group, where listeners can ask questions about our episodes and share their own memories of the region's history. In that group, I post extra content from each episode and links to all my coverage of local history for the Star News. You can find that group by searching Cape Fear Unearthed on Facebook. Don't forget to sign up for the Cape Fear Unearthed newsletter that goes out every Thursday. Sign up for the newsletter at starnewsonline.com/newsletters. Cape Fear on Earth was written, edited, and hosted by yours truly, John Staten. You can find more of my work at starnewsonline.com. Additional editing is done by Adam Fish. This podcast was made possible by listeners and readers like you. Support local journalism and Cape Fear on Earth by subscribing to the Star News at starnewsonline.com/subscribe. And while you're subscribing to things, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream this show, so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review, which will help more people find Cape Fear Unearthed. Till then, get out and explore the Cape Fear region on your own. You never know what you might unearth.